You're with Narelle Graham on ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
And a special guest for you for the next 10, 15 minutes or so to talk property, the property market, what's influencing it at the moment. Of course, all advice is general in nature and should not be considered personal professional advice. But if you've got a property related question, we can probably take it on 1300 222 891, particularly if you get on early enough. Peter Kalitsos is known as the property professor and does some lecturing at universities and at TAFE. Thank you for coming in, Peter.
Pleasure to be here, Narelle.
A simple question to begin with, but I'm guessing it's going to have a complex answer. Is it a buyer's market or a seller's market at the moment in Adelaide, South Australia?
Well, it depends. It depends on where you are and what you're selling. So in the inner west, the gentrifying inner west suburbs like West Croydon, Theberton, Torrensville, Mile End, it is a seller's market. Lots of people want to get in and buy those lovely old character homes, the bungalows and the cottages and the villas. However, if you're trying to sell a brand new house and land packages or townhouses on the outskirts of Adelaide, say down south or up north, then it is a buyer's market because there are lots of them on the market at the moment.
Okay. And people who are buying those character homes, I don't expect you to have the answer, but maybe if you do, are they knocking them down and building something else or are they keeping them as those great, beautiful?
Generally, you'll have three types of people, say, bidding at auction or putting in offers: developers, investors, owner-occupiers.
Yeah.
And generally, owner-occupiers will be the ones that will pay the highest amount of money for a character home because there's a lot of emotion that goes into buying a character home on a good site. Block close to the city.
Yeah, that's how they got me. Peter Kalitsos is my guest. He's known as the property professor. So, Peter, ABC 730 had a story this week. It was a good yarn. And there's a story also on ABC News Online that I'll mention in case people do want to go online and catch up on this if you missed the 730 story. And this is about people who live in Sydney and they can't afford to buy there. So, instead, they're renting in Sydney or even in Melbourne and they're buying property in Adelaide. So, the story makes the point that the median house price quoted in that article in Adelaide is $455,000 compared to Sydney's $900,000. If that sort of practice increases, and they're calling them rent vesters, is that going to have an impact on the house prices in Adelaide?
Yeah, that sort of thing's been going on for a little while now. And what we've been finding, say, in those gentrifying inner western suburbs that I've already mentioned, when people from Sydney look on the internet and they can see a lovely character home 3 kilometres from the city with a price range of 600 or 700, they think they've found the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow because a similar property in Sydney would be well over $1 million. So for them, they're coming in with Sydney dollars buying Adelaide property, which helps to push the property prices up in those particular areas. So I've seen that already happening, and that is going to continue. So long as we have this very big discrepancy between Sydney property prices and Adelaide property prices.
Yeah, that's going to continue. And it's going until what, that we see that the prices of properties kind of balances out between the eastern states and us.
So what will happen is Adelaide's property market will also increase in value.
Yeah.
So as the gap gets lesser and lesser and people think, oh, Adelaide's already in a property boom, that's probably not the best place to invest in, then they might go somewhere else like Hobart or Tasmania. But for now, Adelaide is certainly feeling the effects of interstate investors buying in our inner city suburbs.
And you say that this has been going on for a little while. Would you say months or would you say years?
Probably a year. I noticed this about this time last year.
And then they all talk to each other and say
they're
coming here.
Yeah.
What about overseas investors? Are we seeing more of that?
Look, there was a lot of activity from overseas investors in Sydney and Melbourne because generally that's where they tend to go, the overseas investors. Not so much in Adelaide. There has been some. Generally, the overseas investors, developers are building apartments in the CBD. That's where the most activity has come from overseas investors.
Is what they're doing in the eastern states, these people who are renting, they're rent vesters renting in Sydney and Melbourne and then buying property in Adelaide, is that a good way to get on the property ladder?
If that's the only thing that you can do, then yes. Ideally, I mean, I'm a bit old-fashioned, so I'm a great believer in that rent money is dead money. However, if lifestyle is particularly important to you, and let's say you're that Sydney person.
Yeah.
So you live in one of the great suburbs of Sydney, but you rent there. So it might be like Woolloomooloo or Paddington or places like that.
Mm-hmm.
and you're buying an investment property in Adelaide. Your alternative is to go, because all you can afford is to go and live in a place 40 kilometres from the CBD, mm-hmm. even though you work in the CBD. So, you know, that's a bit hard. However, ideally, and this is for any young people that might be listening, and hopefully my kids aren't listening, but stay at home for as long as you can. And buy yourself an investment property.
Okay. Yeah, I think heaps of parents just went, no, get them out. So if we apply that logic then, if you can't afford to buy in Adelaide and maybe you could rent here and you could buy a place either maybe would you buy regionally in South Australia to get on that property ladder, or would you be better off to buy, as you said, in Tasmania and rent here?
So location is the most important thing when it comes to property.
Right.
So if you can't afford to buy a house in Adelaide or in an up-and-coming suburb in Adelaide, I'd be buying a unit in that up-and-coming suburb in Adelaide. So if you can't afford to buy a house, let's say, in the up-and-coming suburb of Torrensville or Theberton or Mile End, which might cost you $600,000 or $700,000, then have a look at buying a two-bedroom unit in one of those suburbs for maybe $250,000 to $260,000, because proximity to the city is a very big driver of property prices. Mm-hmm. So the closer you can stay to the CBD, the better off you're going to be. That doesn't mean that you discount country areas. We own investment property in country areas, but you got to pick your right country area. So the question you got to ask is, so what is driving the economy in this regional area?
Sure.
And is whatever is driving it, does it have a future?
Yeah.
So
would you need to have a look also at the number of rental properties that are available in that area and sort of say, is there a demand for rental property? And is, as you say, then you look at the economic factors and go, is that rental demand going to continue into the future?
That's right. So, for example, in the Iron Triangle, there are a lot of rental properties. Mm-hmm. But in a place like the Riverland or the York Peninsula, there aren't so many rental properties. So demand and supply certainly plays a big role so far as price is concerned.
I don't even know why I'm asking you this. Are we in the early part of the growth cycle? Now, I don't actually know what that means, but I got that from the article that I was reading that from ABC Online.
The answer is yes, but let me explain a little bit.
Yeah, please.
So property prices go in cycles, just like most things in the economy.
Right.
All right? So generally in Adelaide, there'll be a spike in property prices over 2 or 3 years, and then not much will happen for the next 6 or 7 years. And then there'll be another spike. So really not much has happened in Adelaide since the global financial crisis, since 2008. So we've started to see property prices increase, and I think that is going to continue for at least another 2 or 3 years. We won't see the stellar increases that we have seen in Sydney and Melbourne, because we just don't have that economic activity, certainly not at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of great things forecast to happen in the future so far as the economy and jobs are concerned. Mm. But just at the minute, I can certainly see property prices going up. So if people were looking to buy, this is certainly a very good time to buy if they were looking at capital growth.
Okay. And it's funny, isn't it? Because it's a completely different scenario for people who are looking for a property where they're going to spend 20 years compared to somebody who are looking to invest in a property that they want to get that return on. So we're aware that everybody's got different issues that they're dealing with. I'll just go to the text line 0467 922 891. Peter Kalitsos is my guest. He is known as the property professor. All advice is general in nature, but we might be able to pick out a few tips for you. This is really about over-capitalising from Roz. She is asking, and of course it moved just as I was about to read it out. We have a large spa bath in our ensuite and we're in the process of renovating our main bathroom. Do you think it's important to have a bath in this bathroom?
Oh, a very good question. So I assume it's a house. So if it's a 3 or 4 bedroom house, then it's a family house. Generally, families do like baths. And one thing that I would point out is, we've gone away from the days of having the shower over the bath. You need to have a separate bath and a separate shower. If you can't fit in a separate bath and a separate shower, just stick with the shower and forget about the bath. Because even though I said it's important to have a bath as far as families are concerned, once the kids have finished being little and, you know, bathing them, then hardly anyone uses the bath anyway.
You're,
I mean,
right.
It's nice. It's like a balcony.
Yeah.
You know, hardly anyone uses their balcony, but it's a lovely thing to have.
All right, we're going to go to a question. Nigel from Marino has rung in. Hi, Nigel. What's your question for Peter Kalitsos?
Hello. I'm just wondering, why as a community should we support people to buy investment properties and then rent? Why shouldn't they actually just move into that property?
Generally, people buy investment property to help to secure their retirement. So whether they're buying shares or whether they're buying property, either way, for them they see it as a long-term investment, because the reality is superannuation is not going to cut it. And the social benefit of an investor buying a property is it provides a house or a unit for somebody that couldn't afford to buy the property. So there is some social good, but I'll admit most investors don't invest in property for the social good. They're doing it to secure their retirement.
And I guess, you know, that's a choice that people make, and we're not making the rules. They're made by governments, aren't they? An interesting text. I'm appalled at the lovely bungalows in the 1950s homes, which are being replaced with high-rise blocks of units along Anzac Highway. Adelaide's losing its character to developers who are only interested in profit. But there does seem to be this demand. I've seen so many solid brick homes being demolished in favour of newer, more open plan. Is this the way that we're going, Peter?
Well, Anzac Highway is a very good case in point, in that the local council, under the direction of the state government, has rezoned Anzac Highway to help promote the development of high-rise apartments. I'm like the person that texted in. I'm not a big fan of high-rise apartments. So the reason developers are building high-rise apartments is because they can. The issue that I see is Adelaide people are not into apartments. You know, most people that live in apartments are renters rather than owner-occupiers. Developers have had trouble selling apartments in the great suburbs of North Adelaide and Glenelg and in the CBD. I don't know how they're going to go selling apartments on Anzac Highway. However, if you go one street back from Anzac Highway, we still have those lovely bungalows and Art Deco houses.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Mm. Maybe I can throw this one at you. This will be our last one. We're running out of time. From ABC News this week about the sales of new homes, and this was quoted by the Housing Industry Association, saying sales of new houses have hit their lowest level since 2013, so in 4 years. House sales in South Australia were down nearly 24% in June, and that the downward trend was set to continue. What do we need to remember when we're looking at these figures, Peter?
Oh, statistics. Don't you just love them? Well, I did a little bit of research on this, Narelle, and I found that there was a story in April based on the ABC stats, and for the first time ever, there were more apartments or units being built than houses. So it makes sense that if you are building more apartments and units, then more of those are going to sell than houses. So it's not like it's the end of the world and, oh my God, there are less houses being sold. You follow on from that story, there's actually more units and apartments being sold. And in some research houses consider the duplex, or the old days we used to call them masonettes, as units. So rather than lots of detached houses being sold, we may have lots of masonettes or duplexes or row houses being sold. So it's not the end of the world.
It's not. Well, that is good to know. It is very difficult with those figures, because I imagine they fluctuate from month to month.
Month to month, they're very volatile, those figures.
Are they? And is there more houses sold sort of seasonally as well, or winter? When's the best time to sell a property or buy a property?
Oh, that's a very good question. Very good. Generally, springtime, your house looks great,
yeah,
but then everyone else puts their house on the market at springtime, so then we have an oversupply. Yeah. But beachside suburbs, summertime is a good time to have your property on the market. So if you're down at Victor Harbour or one of our coastal suburbs in Adelaide, putting it on the market in the summertime sounds like a very good move.
Peter Kalitsos, I knew that you would be a great man to speak to, and I have not been disappointed. Thank you very much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you very much, Narelle.